Welcome. Welcome again. I say God bless you. God bless us as we enter another session of Sunday school, going along with the pastor's messages. This is a Bible study. Today, we want to deal with fixed, set, and stayed. Yes, today we're going to consider those three scriptural words with reference to the enormous impact they have upon our eternal destiny. Fixed, set, and stayed all involve issues of eternal consequence, of particular importance for the purpose of this message is the fact that these three words are virtually the same in meaning and can be used rather interchangeably with no harm done to God's Word, the Scriptures. Fixed, set, and stayed all have to do with being securely fastened in position, immovable from that position. We need first to see how God is to be understood in reference to being fixed, set, and stayed. And of course, we look to the revelation from the Holy Scriptures, God's very own Word. If you are truly a Christian today, you are so because God has eternally set His love upon you. I'm going to be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through the first part of verse 8. God says to His people, His eternal people, "For you, a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." It sounds like Peter's letter, doesn't it? A holy nation, a peculiar people chosen by God. "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples." Now, the way that was put, "did not set His love on you because of this and because of that, nor choose you because of this or because of that," is saying, in fact, that God set His love upon His people and chose them. "But because the Lord loves you," folks, He set His love on you. He chose you because He loves you. The eternal God, who does not change, has a love for His elect that is fixed and set and stayed, sure and steadfast, a love securely fastened in position, and cannot be moved from that position. And his love's position is in his people, the church. This immovable love was manifested in time when God sent the great shepherd of the sheep to save God's flock. We're going to be looking at Jeremiah several times today, and first I'd like to go to Jeremiah. Excuse me, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Let's first go to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, speaking of God's flock. Specifically, God refers to the flock here as my flock. Thus says the Lord God to them. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 34. Thus says the Lord God to them, his flock. I will save my flock, and I will set one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David. And of course we know, folks, that all the scripture testifies of Christ. Here, David is a type of Christ, the one shepherd over the people of God. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. The flock of God has but one chief shepherd, the eternal Son of God. Fixed, set, stayed, who alone can give a crown of glory that does not fade away. 1 Peter 5:4, in reference to the chief shepherd. Because God has fixed, set, and stayed his love upon his elect, he sets his eyes on us. Because he has set his love on us, he sets his eyes on us for our eternal good. Now listen to this very closely as we do look at the book of Jeremiah. This eternal love, God setting his eyes upon us, comes with the following blessings which enable us to return to the Lord our God in obedience. Now, reading from Jeremiah 24, God says this of his flock, of his people. For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people. Actively so, folks. Not only called his people, but will actively be his people. Behave as his people. And I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart. That heart that God gave them. Now, if you listened to what I just read from the Word of God, this infers a heart and mind fit for progressive sanctification, being made more holy day by day, following after God with the whole heart. a heart and mind fixed, set, stayed upon hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Now I ask this question in all seriousness of you and of me. Has God fixed? Has God set? Has God stayed you in such a way? He does just so for all those he has fixed, set, and stayed his eyes upon for their good, as hard as this Christian life is. And if you're truly a Christian, you can't get away from it. As hard as it is for our good. All things working together for our good. Now, it's common knowledge in our world today that the vast majority of people who die go to their graves without receiving forgiveness of their sins through Christ alone. It's just a fact. The Bible refers to such people as reprobates, which means rejected ones. God, the one true God, has given these people over and given them up to filthiness and vile passions which they love. Now, folks, if you were perfect in every way, but you reject Christ, that is filthiness. That is a vile passion that will end in your eternal condemnation. Of course, there's no one like that, that's perfect in every way, but has just refused to flee to Christ, not realizing they're not really perfect but are flawed in so many ways. They have no interest in an atonement for their souls through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Such an idea, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, a human sacrifice, the God-man sacrificed for the sins of his people. To them, that's a barbaric idea and a mockery to their intelligence. Yes, as the Bible puts it, the gospel of Christ is foolishness to them. Now, before you get too haughty as a Christian, it was foolishness to you before God saved you, before God gave you a new heart. In a number of places in the Old Testament, the Bible records that God has set his face against such people. Now listen to this closely. Listen to what I'm going to say, not what you think I'm saying. If you reach the grave, if you reach the grave rejecting Christ, you will prove to be a person whom God has fixed, set, and stayed his face against. Those three words, I'm going to say them more and more, fixed, set, and stayed, describe a permanency that cannot be altered. It is fixed, set, and stayed, eternally immovable. However, if you hear my voice right now, you obviously are not in the grave, but alive, physically. God says this to you right now. Thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Folks, did you hear that? The way of life and the way of death. These two ways are fixed, set, and stayed. You will reach the grave by one of these ways. The way of life is Christ. Fixed, set, and stayed, and permanently so. Fastened, immovable. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Christ himself said, testified would be even better. The eternal word of God himself testified, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one. How many people does that leave out? No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. The absolute opposite of Christ is the way of death. The opposite of the way of life, which is Christ, is death. Going right back to the beginning of the Word of God, the Bible, Genesis chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. After Adam and Eve had fallen in the garden into sin, and the human race in its entirety affected by that, we see this. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. Everybody. Nobody left out. As Judges 21:25 ends with this very verse, everyone did right in his own eyes. Now, did you hear that very closely? It doesn't mean that they did right. It means they did right according to what they thought was right, or what they could justify as being right. And you know, you and I both have justified things when we knew we were wrong, so we could say we were right. A commentary on that verse is found twice. Exact same words in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16. There is a way right to a man, but its end, the way of death. The two ways, folks, the two ways. God says the following or very similar words throughout the Holy Scriptures. I take this from Jeremiah 35. Turn now, he says this to everybody. Turn now, everyone, from his evil way. Amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Remember how John, in one of his letters, over towards the end of our Bible, said, beware of idols. Beware of idols. But God goes on after warning them, but you have not inclined your ear, you won't listen. nor obeyed me. This is a universal truth and always has been. Human beings, left to themselves, without the intervention of God upon their hearts, are fixed, set, and stayed in their ways. Ecclesiastes 8:11. This is as clear as a bell. The heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. It's fixed. It's set. It's stayed. It is here, as I speak now about this particular portion we're talking of right now. It is here that God must intervene in the human heart and do what humans cannot do for themselves. Back again to Jeremiah, this time reading from chapter 32. This is a beautiful description of the Israel of God, God's true people from every kindred, tribe, language, and nation. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way. Folks, that's the way of life. That they may fear me forever. A reverential fear of God. That heart that God gives will cause them to reverentially fear him forever. For the good of them and their children after them. Certainly we're passing that on to our children. Teaching them of God and his way. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Everlasting covenant with them. That I will not turn away from doing them good. As bad as it may seem at times, folks, God is always doing good for you. But I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Fixed, set, stayed. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good. God rejoices over us to do us good. And I will assuredly plant them in this land. Now, what land is he talking about? The kingdom of God. With all my heart and with all my soul. Folks, God says that. With all his heart and with all his soul, the eternal God rejoices over us to do us good and gives us the kingdom of God. These are the very same people of Deuteronomy 17, where I began this message earlier. A people God has eternally set his love upon. A people to whom God has given a new heart and mind and set us in a new way. As Psalm 85:13 speaks to God's people, assuring us that God's righteousness, and what is that? It's Christ. Christ has been made unto us righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is righteousness. Well, that shall set us in the way of his steps. Did you hear me? Psalm 85:13. God's righteousness, Christ, shall set us in the way of his steps. As a Christian, you and I have been equipped by God to fulfill the commandment that we see in one of Peter's letters, that you should follow his steps. We've been set in the way of his steps. We have been commanded to follow in those steps. And in that very same portion in Peter's letter, it says, to this you were called. And in that inward call, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, you are fixed. You are set. You are stayed in those steps. Now, though we stumble, we fall as Christians due to the world, the flesh, and the devil, which are at war against our very own souls. Nonetheless, the Lord is faithful, keeping us in his steps. Now listen, as I say some things derived from Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of God's people are ordered by the Lord, and God delights in their way. Though they fall, they shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds their hand. You see, God's elect are fixed, set, stayed, and shall never be removed from the way which is Christ. Being united to Christ is permanent. It's fixed. It's set. It's stayed. Listen, as the psalmist says, My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And that doesn't mean it's been repaired, folks. It means replaced with a new heart, a heart after God's own heart that follows God's steps. Not perfectly yet, but it cannot be removed, and will be made perfect when we see Christ and are made like him. In the meantime, the time between now and when we see the Lord Jesus, in the meantime, I'm going to close by bringing to your consideration a verse central to living the Christian's daily life. Consider with me this verse, Without the translator's inserted words, the supplied words found in Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is with the inserted words, the supplied words removed. You, and that, of course, is a reference to God, you will keep in perfect peace a mind stayed. Now, that's what it says. Look in your own Bibles. You see those words in italics? Take them out. You will keep in perfect peace a mind stayed because he trusts in you. Would you have peace of mind? Do you not desire peace of mind in this world we live in today? Is your mind, now listen, this is it, we close. Is your mind fixed, set, and stayed, now listen, upon trusting in God? I did not say, is your mind set upon God? Now listen, I'm not talking about faith in your faith, but trusting God. You can have no real peace of mind without trusting in God. Is your mind fixed upon trusting in God? Fixed, set, stayed upon trusting in God. Think about that. Pray about that. Amen.